Welcome to Dr. Red Says. Our show is all about taking charge of your mental, physical, and spiritual health. We'll answer your questions about the various healing modalities, and most of all, we're going to have some fun. Now, here is your host, Dr. Red.
Good afternoon, America. Well, I promised you a red hot show today, so it definitely is going to be a red hot show because the hottest of hot topics is sex. But before we get into that, I just want to note a couple of things. Our president is right here in my hometown, San Diego, inspecting the borders and the prototype border walls. And that's a fascinating experience, watching this right in your backyard. So shout out to everybody involved in that, because it took a lot of work to get that stuff up, get him there, let him shoot from the lip like he does, because he has some choice words about our governor. But it's history in the making, and so that's very exciting. And so I just had to say shout out for that. He's on his way back to Miramar Air Base now to talk to the Marines, and that's exciting. I've never seen such a sea of Marines all clustered in one place before. So this is groundbreaking and exciting, and just wanted to let you all know that we do pay attention to those things, even if we are a little on the metaphysical side. Now, to our great red hot topic here, I would like to introduce you to Dr. Michelle Dexter. And the first thing I'm going to ask her, because Dr. Michelle, I know what PsyD is. I'm not sure about NLPCC because I am an NLP practitioner. But Dr. Michelle Dexter is a sexologist, an integrative psychologist, and an intuitive. And she uses all of that integrative healing model, which includes mind, body, and spirit. I love that. To address love and sex concerns. And she employs biogenic methods and energy psychology to get to the root of the problem, because most of us never get to the root of our problem. We just treat symptoms. And so the root causes of romantic relationship and sexuality challenges. And her approach is sex positive. I'm not going to touch that one. And assumes that everybody can enjoy happy sexuality and sexual expression. So this is really cool. She loves to help people find good partners and have happy relationships and have fun while they're doing it. Well, we do love to have fun. So, Dr. Michelle, how did you become a sexologist?
Well, first of all, Dr. Red, thank you so much for having me today. I mean, I love to talk about red hot sex, so this is going to be lots of fun.
Okay.
And to answer your question, I wish that I had some, saucy tale to tell you about how this happened. But it was actually kind of a banal story. I opened up my private practice many years ago, about 14 years ago now. And, I was a generalist then, treating all kinds of problems and challenges. And about 90% of the people who came to me had love and sex challenges.
Oh.
And right around that same time, I was also, I've been a professor for a number of years now, about, since 1996. So what does this make this? 22 years now that I've been a professor. So early on in my career, I was asked to start teaching human sexuality classes, which are lots of fun. I love teaching undergrads and graduates all about sexual health and all about, the fun stuff, how to communicate about sex and what does it mean to have a relationship at all the different stages.
Oh, geez, I've done that since high school.
Right? Yes. So so the combination of teaching human sexuality and treating all of those people with their love and sex challenges really led me into doing original research on human sexuality. So these days I've been really, really interested in what is healthy sexuality. And
good question.
So I've been collecting some data on that, and it's been really, really fun.
Yeah, it's interesting because I guess there's a range from zero to, six times a day. It depends on what's healthy for you.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and does healthy sexuality include pornography? Does it include masturbation? Does it include an open relationship?
Wow, that is pretty interesting. So I want to talk about the thing in general. The reason I brought up the border wall, later on we are going to talk about PTSD. And even though this show is aimed at empowering veterans, anybody in the world for any reason could develop PTSD. So when we talk about these issues, just think back. I have one because I've been hit three times not of my own making, in serious car accidents, sending me to the hospital. Mm. Not my idea. And I'm scared witless to drive a car. So there's all kinds of PTSD.
Yes.
So first of all, what is good sex? I mean, nowadays, I'm flabbergasted because my 10-year-old grandson told me there were like 20-something different gender choices. And I said, what? Uh-huh. I thought there was like male and female. And he said, not anymore.
About that. It seems like in America that we're kind of waking up to a reality that's kind of been slumbering. As we look cross-culturally around the world and as we look through history, you know, we find out that there's actually wide expression of gender. Among the Bardash, that's actually a third gender choice. And that is basically a person who is biologically male, living life as a female, and well accepted, you know, in the community, for example.
Well, that might be a good thing, because one of the things, and I'm sure you'll know a lot more than I do about this, the people who have had transgender surgery, a great number of them commit suicide. I guess they decided it wasn't the right choice after all, and you can't go back. I don't know.
I don't know that that's what's happening, but I think that in America, because we have had this culture that's been so focused on binary gender, masculine and feminine, and there really hasn't been a space or even a tolerance for people who don't fit into the binary categories. And I can only imagine how frustrating that must be, and the violence that comes against people who are outside of that binary structure.
Yeah, it's hard. And we're getting better, but
yes.
I don't know. I thought there was a lot of psychological testing and things that you have to go through to find out if you're comfortable in the body you're in before you make changes.
Yes, for a gender reassignment surgery, yes. A lot of people struggle with gender dysmorphia, which, by the way, is not a disorder. They finally have taken that out of the DSM as a disorder.
Oh, really?
But,
okay.
That was my understanding. Yeah, that
so,
it's no longer. But you know, people do still suffer with all of the anxiety, right? You know, because again, fighting against the grain of something that's so deep on our society, that's a big deal.
Yeah, it certainly is. I mean, it's on every form, everywhere. You know, the first thing is name, address, ethnicity, and sex. And I usually put no. No, thank you. Because I just am not into that. But anymore, what are you going to put down? They usually have male, female, and now they have other? And I'm going, what's other?
Yay, California, because we've actually passed a new law so that there is actually a third box, and it's non-binary, and you can check that.
So that's really confusing to me. First of all, I just don't think they should even ask anymore, but... because it doesn't, I don't think it matters in most jobs or almost anything we do. Women can do just as much as men can do. Men can do the same thing women can do. Why do we care what gender they are when we're filling out forms?
Oh, I don't know, unless it's for statistical analysis of some reason. I don't know.
Beats me. People keep asking me where I hide my cojones anyway, so I'm obviously a girl, but I have a lot of masculine traits. And I like that. I was raised by colonel. I mean, I don't have any choice.
That's the beauty of gender fluidity, right? You know, that it doesn't have to matter necessarily what your body presents as, but that you have your own internal gender expression that's going to come out in any way that you feels good for you.
Well, it does for me sometimes, but it scares the heck out of other people. I mean, it's hard to believe that there are still people in this day and age that think a strong woman is a bitch.
Well, as they say, the patriarchy is still alive.
Oh, well, I won't even get into the glass ceiling thing because there are so many controversies about glass ceiling. But there's the deal now. Sure. If you're going to talk about what makes for really good sex, are we talking about homo, hetero, and anything that might be in between?
All of it. Yeah. So if you are a person, let's talk about good sex if you are a person. So there are three things that I think that make for really good sex based on my research. Number one is good communication. Okay. So one of the things that I've seen that comes up a lot is that some people really are uncomfortable discussing sex and sexuality.
Oh, yeah.
And they're uncomfortable asking for what they want.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, you know, so that's an issue. So if there's one thing that I could say, you know, as a tip or a pointer here, it would be this, and it is okay to be direct.
And I'll tell you, though.
Go ahead.
Well, this thing about how direct, my mother gave me the sex education talk, and she was very frank. And now, since I was like, I guess, 8, I can't pass a soda machine where the word says insert without blushing and you know, nearly fainting.
Oh, that's funny, Dr. Red.
It's terrible, though. I mean, it's just, there's a whole other meaning to the word insert now for me, and it's been going on. I'm 70 years old. It's been going on for 68 years, something like that, 62 years. That's pathetic.
I'm sorry, I don't know what to tell you about that one.
I don't think anybody can fix that one. I think the younger, each generation, we're getting a little better. I think I am slightly out of time. I should have been in the Victorian era.
Oh, well, you know, a lot of that stuff is still alive in our psyches, you know, that transgenerational stuff, you know, still alive.
Well,
right. But I do want to say things are getting better. You know, I mean, feminism has brought us very far, and you know, we're continuing to evolve and explore. You know, I mean, I love what culturally is going on now. You know, we've come a long way. It's wonderful to see.
Yeah, and we have about just one more minute before we get into the next segment. And when we do talk in the next segment, we'll talk about what gets in the way of really good sex, because I'm not quite sure yet what really good sex is, other than communicating and you're satisfied.
Yes, exactly. So there's two more things I wanted to say. So the first thing that I wanted to continue on with is that it's okay to give yourself permission to explore. Give yourself permission to be sexual. Give yourself permission to actually say what you would like. And in fact, saying what you could like could actually be really hot. That can actually be part of the sex play. You know, leaning over and whispering in your partner's ear or something like, I really like it when you squeeze my breast.
Oh,
something
we gotta
like
stop.
That can be part of
the
talk.
We gotta stop there and come back, because everybody get out your fans, and we will be back in just a second with our red hot guest, Dr. Michelle.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
If you've got no success, perhaps you need Success No Therapy. Dr. Red, a.k.a. Dr. Sarah Young, uses hypnotherapy, Reiki, aromatherapy, EFT, NLP, angel healing, card reading, and even basic common sense in order to find out what you need and how to get you there. Dr. Red is also a psychic medium, and if you're outside Southern California, Dr. Red can present distance healing sessions. For more information about these and other services that Dr. Red offers, visit drsarahmyoung.net or call 858-860-0461. FaceTime and Skype sessions are also available.
How are you doing in your life? Do you control your life, or does it control you? In our hectic, overconnected world, do you spend too much time feeling tired and wired? Tune in to Master Your Life with hosts Leah Mattinson and Dr. Howard Rankin for inspiration, insight, and intelligence on how to gain control of yourself and your life. Along with some inspirational and knowledgeable guests, Leah and Howard will give you the tools needed to help you on your journey. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time, on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Build your better business. Achieve that goal. Make good on that resolution. The Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed.
You are listening to Dr. Red Says. If you have a question or comment about the show today, we invite you to call into the program at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send an email to drredsays@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everybody. Did y'all get a nice drink of cool water or a fan or something? Because and I'm sitting here in all red because I'm Dr. Red. What can I say? But wow, I mean, I think I'm redder than my clothes, and we haven't even gotten started really on the good stuff yet. But that is, I think, part of the problem is that I'm really old school Southern lady. You know, I was raised by my nannies in Galveston, Texas, in, you know, the 50s. We didn't even think about things like this, much less discuss them or tell her husband what we wanted. That was his domain. So in that, what makes really good sex? I'm back with my angel. I have to think about this. The angel of erotic possibilities. All my guests are angels. So my angel of erotic possibilities, Dr. Michelle Dexter, is here. And she's going to tell us what does make good sex. Well, really good sex. Besides the machine you can buy for yourself. I mean, that's
a whole other. But you know what? That actually might be a good thing, too. So, go ahead.
I guess. I had heard that if, at least for women, if we don't do it enough, we get out of practice. And it doesn't feel the same.
Yeah.
For guys, they don't care.
Well, it actually works both ways, you know, because, you know, the pelvic floor, it does have muscles, you know, regardless of the sex you've got. And so, yes, it is something of a use it or lose it situation.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Darn.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Well, so those Kegel muscles are those Kegel exercises are important for everybody. And yes, regular sex is probably a good thing. And if you don't have a partner, then regular masturbation is a good thing just for maintaining good sexual health and good pelvic floor health.
Yeah, that I was going to say, it's great for bladder problems in women.
Yes.
So there are other things. And then my husband, when I've lost 150 pounds, and now I'm on the edge where when I go on the BMI scale, they say, for God's sake, woman, stop dieting. But I had been fat for so long that my husband would go, you know, sex burns a lot of calories. And I'm going, give it up, man. It doesn't work for me.
Well, you know, it is exercise.
Yeah, that's, what can I say? What is really good sex other than doing it yourself?
Well, like we said, so asking for what you want, giving yourself permission to be sexual, giving yourself permission to explore, taking the time to discover new things, to try new things, trying out different positions, maybe reading some erotic literature to try to get in the mood.
Okay, as long as you don't end up getting on a porn site on the web and then somebody goes to check your employment record and they go, oh, Dr. Sarah's been watching porn. Oh.
Well, you know, I read some statistics recently that indicated that that porn consumption is something that's nearly universal of all internet users.
Huh.
So I don't know that would be such a barrier to employment anymore.
Wow, that is interesting.
Yeah. But the point being is that in trying new and novel things, that actually stimulates the brain, and particularly that's good for couples. When couples have been together a long time, sometimes there's a challenge in keeping things, you know, keeping them steamy, keeping them interesting. And so this can actually stave off the boredom by actually trying new things because it actually stimulates that novel part of the brain that thinks, ooh, this is fun.
Oh, boy. Well, yeah, I could use that. I mean, 50 years with this guy. Well, we've been together since 69, so we dated for 5 years, and then we got married. So over 50 years with this guy, and it things do get a little boring sometimes, you know?
Well, I imagine they do. So my prescription for you is try something new, anything.
Okay. Well, the other problem that I do want to talk about, because this is kind of one of my missions, is wiping this out, PTSD, and people change. So when we talk about, he was never a really excitement crazed person to begin with, but before Vietnam, my husband was Alan Alda, very sweet, very mellow, loved everybody, everything was great. And he came back Archie Bunker from Vietnam. Mm. And, of course, people were spitting on him, and there were other things. And we just did his PTSD eval, and there was so many top-secret traumas, I had to leave the room because I didn't have the clearance for that. Mm-hmm. When somebody is that traumatized, they're not the same person anymore.
Yes.
Well, how do you fix that?
Well, let's talk a little bit about root causes, because one of the things that I like to specialize in my practice is trauma. And here's the thing, is that we're working off of the assumption that the body is a biocomputer.
Yeah.
And in a biocomputer, obviously, things can go very wrong when the computer is maltreated or, gets a virus, something like that. So trauma to the body's biocomputer really is a wrench in the works. So cells actually quite literally can hold memory. And they can hold traumatic dysfunction. And when the cells are holding trauma, obviously that can lead to dysfunction in the tissues and therefore dysfunction in the organ and therefore dysfunction in the entire body. And
wow.
So what's going on there? Well, it actually turns out that there are a few things that are going on. Number one, that the brain has actually changed in trauma. We actually look at brains that are traumatized, and it actually turns out that they look physically different than brains who are not traumatized.
Wow.
And they also function differently, yes. So what happens is that the limbic system, which is in the core of the forebrain, which is the emotional system, that system is actually designed to be able to handle the vicissitudes or the upsets of life, and then to be able to go, okay, I can deal with that, not a deal. So in the limbic system, there's a part of it called the amygdala. And
oh, yeah.
I often picture the amygdala as the threat detector, and I imagine that if I were going to talk about it in a pictorial form, that it would be like the guy wearing the military uniform with the gun and the bayonet on the end and the jack boots, and he's always walking around the perimeter checking to make sure that everything is safe. But here's the thing, is that in a traumatized brain, that amygdala, so that threat detector, is always hypervigilant. And so what little thing you and I, who are not traumatized, another person who's not traumatized, goes, okay, no big deal, no biggie. The traumatized brain goes, oh, my God.
Wow.
And so it's very, very quick to perceive a threat.
So I know that you renew your entire body cells every 7 years, but little pieces
right.
at a time. Can you correct the brain or can you build new cells?
Yes, well, that's a really good question. And so here's the thing. My personal orientation is there's nothing that cannot be healed. But you have to have the right tools to heal things, right?
That's true.
So, So in my research and my colleagues' research, we have found that trauma patterns can literally be held for an entire lifetime.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's not good.
So that's the depressing news. But the good news is that we've also found that we can actually make changes. We can actually invoke the healing.
Are you overriding the bad feelings?
Well, basically what we're doing is we're bringing the body back into homeostasis, right? Because the body really does want innate healing. It really does want to come back to its innate, homeostatic balance, right? And so that's the beauty of doing some trauma healing is that, when I let go of the trauma imprint, in the cellular memory, that suddenly now the body and the brain says, I don't have to hold on to that anymore. Let me come back into correction. Let me come back into balance. And,
good.
It's a very nice feeling. Yes.
Yeah,
now, people ask me, Dr. Michelle, am I going to not remember the trauma anymore? And I say, well, of course not. I don't have a memory eraser. I don't know that anybody does. But instead of looking at the trauma with all of those feelings of upset and fear and anger and rage and resentment and bitterness, that you'll look at it and have feelings of that was really yucky. I did not like that, but I'm at peace with it. I accept it.
That sounds so much like, do you ever use timeline therapy?
I do sometimes, because you asked about NLPCC, and that's Neuro-Linguistic Programming Certified Coach.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I never heard of certified coach. I'm a practitioner, but I didn't know the other half. Okay. Yeah, it's wonderful because for those of us who have been through it, we're going to go really fast. It's more complicated than that. But basically, you get in a mellow state, get your subconscious to work with you, and walk back to that problem and then ask it, can you preserve the memory but detach from all of that pain and trauma and all the bad feelings? And if your subconscious says, yeah, I can do that, then you can walk back to the future and go, ha, better.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's really cool.
That's one of my favorite tools. Yeah.
I love that. I learned that. I had a lifelong fear of spiders. I mean, if you grew up, I was raised in Japan. And if you grew up in Japan, they have these Benjo ditch spiders that are bigger than your hand. I was scared of spiders. And one timeline session just in the class when he was demonstrating, boom, no more fear of spiders.
Wonderful. I love hearing stories like that.
It's amazing stuff. The neat thing about trying to treat PTSD right now, at least there are all different kinds, and we talked about that on the break, but you guys didn't get to hear it. You can have PTSD over anything for any reason. So it doesn't, we don't have to just talk about combat. We don't have to talk about sexual assaults, which are a biggie. Could be a robbery. Could be, I have a friend who got terrible PTSD because he was going on a secret mission and found out his brother died. And it just hit him the wrong way. And boom, it just totally screwed up his brain.
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely.
There are all kinds of PTSD, and many people may have it, even though the VA would like to say people don't, and they're calling it other things and trying not to pay for the benefits, which kind of drives me bonkers. But anyone can have this. So if you're listening and you're going, I'm not in the military, no, don't have to be. I wasn't raped. No, don't have to be.
If I may interrupt, sometimes these traumas are things that seem so innocuous, but they actually run really, really deep. If I may share two examples, I had a client who is middle-aged and was presenting with erectile dysfunction. And when we started looking at root causes, well, wouldn't you know that one of them was when he was 14 years old. And, of course, being middle-aged, he was 14 before the internet existed. And so he had some pornography magazines that he had hidden in the house. Yeah. And when his mother found them, she shamed him something awful.
Oh.
She told him, you're no son of mine. This is disgusting. How dare you? You've shamed me. You've shamed the entire family. You're a disgusting son.
Wow.
So that created some trauma and probably PTSD in him. And so then he was walking around with all kinds of limiting beliefs that were preventing him from having, a functional sexual relationship now that he was, an adult married man, trying to have a baby.
And we'll be back and talk about that in just a minute.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
If you've got no success, perhaps you need success no therapy. Dr. Red, aka Dr. Sarah Young, uses hypnotherapy, Reiki, aromatherapy, EFT, NLP, angel healing, card reading, and even basic common sense in order to find out what you need and how to get you there. Dr. Red is also a psychic medium, and if you're outside Southern California, Dr. Red can present distance healing sessions. For more information about these and other services that Dr. Red offers, visit drsarahmyoung.net or call 858-860-0461. FaceTime and Skype sessions are also available.
Build your better business. Achieve that goal. Make good on that resolution. The Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed.
You are listening to Dr. Red Says. If you have a question or comment about the show today, we invite you to call into the program at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send an email to drredsays@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everybody. And like I said, I hope you're sitting down with a nice, cool glass of iced tea and a fan, because we are getting into some red-hot issues. I understand a little bit about the guy you just mentioned because my mother, I'm from an old conservative Southern Jewish family, which is kind of an oxymoron right there. But she always told me that sex is your wifely duty. You know, she didn't make anything enjoyable about it. If he wants that, you need to do that. And I'm going, oh, thank you very much. Did not sound
pleasant.
Wow,
that strikes me as incredibly sex negative.
Well, I guess in those days, because, you know, that was
You're right, and that was the culture of the time. In fact, there is a rather popular pamphlet that's been unearthed and you know, floats around the internet and is also part of my human sexuality textbook that is written for the Victorian bride, which gives all kinds of advice, which basically says, congratulations, you're getting married. How wonderful. Unfortunately, marriage comes with, you know, a horrible wifely duty. So here's what we recommend. That you give grudgingly and give as unfrequently as you possibly can. Also, we recommend starting fights at bedtime so you can get out of it.
Ah.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of headaches. I haven't started too many fights.
Fake headaches, and fake being sick. Yes.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's no wonder that during the Victorian era that prostitution was the highest that it's ever been in the history of our country, because all those poor husbands were probably going down to the brothels.
Well, yeah, if everybody had a headache at home, I guess so.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the things I do want to get onto, the effects of trauma and stuff, but I was always taught that men just like, they think about sex constantly. It's always on their mind. That's all there is. And women, we don't care. We don't really need it.
What a big lie. Wow.
Oh, yeah, well.
You know, in contemporary sex research, we've discovered that men and women have about equal desire for sex. So that's just a big myth, and we can let that go.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
Yet I'm kind of behind the curve here. Well, you know, and when you talk about traumas, how it affects people, I won't go into what happened in my youth, but there are just things. I can't stand to see guys with no shirt on. There are other things that I just cannot tolerate that are possibly an effect of a past trauma that I just have never wanted to deal with. So that's fine for me, but it's not very nice to my husband. So,
well,
what are some of these effects of trauma, and what do they do to partners?
Well, there's two. There's actually many effects of trauma. There's two that I want to focus on right now. And the first one is limiting beliefs, taking on limiting beliefs. And the second is taking on limiting decisions. So here's the thing is that, you know, we think that we're so consciously in control of our lives, right? But our psyches are really only about 10% conscious. That means that 90% is unconscious.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. And so when we're traumatized, we make all kinds of unconscious limiting beliefs and unconscious limiting decisions. So there can be limiting decisions like, you know, my client, the one I mentioned who was shamed, he decided, I'm not allowed to be sexual. It's not safe to be sexual. And I'm bad if I'm sexual.
Yeah, I got the bad one.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Girls growing, how can a person give themselves permission to be sexual if they're laboring under that belief?
Well, because you can't be a naughty girl. I mean, I'm just sorry.
Right?
You can't be a naughty girl.
That doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good to the psyche, does it?
I don't know. I've never really thought that much about it. I just avoid the whole subject, which is not a good thing either.
Well, I mean, you know, and that sounds like a coping strategy. You know,
if you run away from the bear, he's not gonna kill you.
Sure, exactly. And so that's what we do. We make up these coping strategies. Now, coping strategies are obviously designed, you know, to keep us safe, safe physically, safe emotionally, but they may actually keep us away from what we really want, you know, which for some people might be to have, you know, a really hot and heavy and happy, healthy sex life.
That would be interesting. I never thought about that. Interesting right now, because you're trying to resolve all these things, and we have this cultural whiplash going on with the Me Too movement. Holy moly, my poor husband, he likes at least compliment people, and he's always a boss wherever he is. If he says to a lady, I like your outfit, now it's like sexual harassment.
Oh, well, this gets into a really, really complicated issue. To wax metaphysical for a moment, you know, all of us are intuitive. and whether we use that word or not. But all of us can kind of get the vibe off of somebody, right? And so when a man makes a woman feel like he's a creep, that's, I think, what women are complaining about, rather than men who are you know, just being genuinely nice and not evoking that feeling.
Well, he's, like, petrified now. He's afraid to say anything to anybody about anything because there are a lot of women in his office, and he doesn't want to be brought up on charges.
Well, I understand that. And, you know, in any cultural revolution, it's kind of like a pendulum. It has to swing from one extreme to the other. And my feeling is that in time, you know, that we're navigating this. We're having a cultural conversation about this. And that perhaps the pendulum has swung to, like, the ultra-conservative side, you know, being, like, ultra, like, don't say anything, be ultra-safe about this as a way of protecting yourself. But in time, you know, perhaps it will correct. I don't know.
Yeah, it'd be nice if we ever got in the middle of anything. We're always swinging from one extreme to the other. So in the middle of all of this, so we have guilts here and there and back and forth, how do people resolve their traumas?
Well, that is a very good question. So I always recommend starting with what you have and doing what you can with what you've got. And so one of the things that I want to share with you and your listeners today is a technique called UFO holding. And no, that is not handling spaceships. it stands for unwinding the frontal and occipital lobes.
Ooh.
Yes. Yeah. So UFO holding. So you simply place one hand across your forehead.
Okay.
And one hand across the back of your head, across the occipital. So you've got one hand across your frontal lobe and one hand across your occipital lobe.
Okay.
And I'm simply holding that pose for 1 to 2 minutes while you think about the thing that was upsetting to you.
Oh, that's fascinating.
And, yeah, isn't that great? And I know you may be thinking, well, why does this help? Well, let me explain. So it actually turns out that there are some acupressure points on your forehead. And in fact, there are 5 of them. There's several, but there are 5 for our purposes today. So 2 of them are the emotional release points. And so those are points that when we have our hand over them, we press them, that we actually get that feeling of, you know, calming or being able to process the emotion that was stuck or trapped in the body.
Wow.
2 more points are for the brain. And so whatever thoughts we have about the thing, we can process. And 1 more point, the 5th that I want to talk about, is the amygdala point. And like I said, the amygdala is, you know, the threat detector, right? And so by pressing that point, then you're calming that threat feeling. And so by being able to process the thoughts and the feelings about it, that's very, very calming to the mind and to the body.
Wow.
And then the occiput, that is actually where you hold visual memory. And so typically when we have a traumatic situation, you know, we have like a mental memory loop or a mental visual memory loop, like a movie in our heads, right? And so what this does by unwinding the frontal and occipital lobes, by holding all of those points, is actually allows the whole brain to connect with itself. And so by holding those nice relaxing points in the frontal lobe while holding the occipital lobe, you know, with the visual memory, is that now the brain and the body says, oh, I remember that. Oh, you know what? That's okay. I can be calm about that now. That's in the past. I don't need to worry about it. Yeah, it was yucky, but I'm okay now.
That is so cool. I need you to do a little video that we can put on my site for the Dr. Red listeners so they can kind of get a handle on that. Because that is just,
yes,
that is groundbreaking.
Oh, yay. Well, I would be happy to do that.
That is so cool. I mean, I have some EFT points up from last week from emotional freedom techniques, and we're touching again on these pressure points in your body. That is so important. You've got all this stored up energy in your body trying to explode.
Yes, absolutely. And I just came across some very fascinating research where they were actually putting people in MRI machines doing acupressure points, and they were actually able to show how the brain quite literally changes in vivo by holding those points. Yeah, is that amazing?
That is so cool. Yeah. What I'm just so thrilled with all of this because some of us have been practicing some of these ancient arts that have been around since before Jesus, bless his heart, and nobody believed it until they invented a machine that could show you that it was happening. Well, gee, it was there.
I know, but it is kind of fun in our contemporary era to hop on a machine and go, oh, look, there is a pre and post effect.
It's fascinating, actually. I would love to see some of those. I know in the Hyperbaric Oxygen book, it's Oxygen Revolution, they show some functional MRI scans and PET scans, and wow, it's in living color. You can see what happens mm-hmm. after this treatment. Their brain just changes colors. It's fascinating. Yes. So in for our purposes, it's more like, instead of I'll see it when I believe it, or I'll believe it when I see it, we have to kind of say I'll see it when I believe it. Because mm-hmm. if you waste time, you know, waiting for the machines to get cheap enough for you to go have this test done and prove it to you, you're wasting a lot of your life. Just believe people who know that it works. Believe them. Read these books. Listen to the research. And then practice.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and just be willing to try it. You know, because, Dr. Red, here's the thing, is that we've had some really, really neat research come out in the last 15 years or so, you know, really definitively showing a robust post effect of these treatments. And in my own practice, anecdotally, I've been able to treat everybody 100% to the point where they've had significant improvement in erectile dysfunctioning, in low libido, in painful wow. sex conditions.
Well, I'm going to come to you. I'm going to come to you just to get rid of my grandmother's Southern upbringing.
I'd be happy to help you.
I'm serious. It's amazing. People who are now don't believe that thoughts are things, please. Thoughts are things.
Well, they actually proved that in the 90s when they did the molecules of emotion studies. And they actually showed that when people thought certain things, that they could quite literally measure and see these neuropeptides. They are physical things.
Yeah,
and happy neuropeptides, you know, are helpful to the body, and negative neuropeptides, you know, like all that stuff in trauma, so fear, anger, resentment, guess what? That those are harmful neuropeptides to the body, and they actually lead to inflammation. And guess what? When we're inflamed, you know, then we have all kinds of organ dysfunction, and then we have you know, negative feedback loop, you know, because then we've got all these hormones that aren't helping us. So, you know, it's like that whole thing about you put on extra weight and then that's leading to depression and then that's leading to more negative neuropeptides.
Holy cow, you can literally negative yourself to death.
Yes. Yes,
so
exactly.
When we come back, we're going to do a couple of positive things. We'll talk about the angel of the week. We'll talk about our favorite rant, which should be good when we're discussing sex. And we'll talk about something really exciting, Merry Military Month. We'll be right back.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
If you've got no success, perhaps you need Success No Therapy. Dr. Red, a.k.a. Dr. Sarah Young, uses hypnotherapy, Reiki, aromatherapy, EFT, NLP, angel healing, card reading, and even basic common sense in order to find out what you need and how to get you there. Dr. Red is also a psychic medium, and if you're outside Southern California, Dr. Red can present distance healing sessions. For more information about these and other services that Dr. Red offers, visit drsarahmyoung.net or call 858-860-0461. FaceTime and Skype sessions are also available.
How do you define work? Is it that mundane Monday through Friday place that seems to be sucking a third of your life out of you? Or have you made it a place of personal fulfillment, achievement, and purpose? If you are looking to make your work life the latter, tune in to Working on Purpose with Elise Cortez. There are all kinds of inspiring work-life stories told by people who have made work something to look forward to every day. Working on Purpose can be heard every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific on Voice America Empowerment.
Build your better business. Achieve that goal. Make good on that resolution. The Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed.
You are listening to Dr. Red Says. If you have a question or comment about the show today, we invite you to call into the program at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send an email to drredsays@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everybody. And like I said, I hope you're all cool because this has been one hot show. But I don't think it's one that we could cover in one session, so I think we're going to have Dr. Michelle back. Dr. Michelle is my angel of I love you. And so the angel and crystal card that we picked, we did not do last week because Dawson Church is too big an icon to even get a word in edgewise. So we didn't have a card last week. But this week I pulled the card, and I don't pull the card picks me. So it is brought to you this week by Pink Calcite, which is a beautiful stone. And the stone says, do you need more sweetness in your life? Are you gentle with yourself and in your words and thoughts? Treat yourself with kindness. Cultivate loving friends, family, and environment. Be your own best friend and the best friend you can be to others. That's almost biblical. And then on the back is the angel, and this is brought to you by the angel of kindness. Now, boy, if you want to have some good sex, you better be kind, because they go together. And the angel of kindness says, these are your affirmations, and if you listen to the show, you can write them down later when you listen to it on demand. Say these three times to yourself, each one. I am blessed with nurturing vibrations wherever I go. I'm gentle with myself. I recognize that kind-heartedness brings about better life situations. I'm kind and considerate and compassionate with myself and others. I enjoy loving relationships. That's your card.
Oh, how delightful.
That I have never had a card be that spot on, but that is your card. And we talked about it. Dr. Michelle does lots of different kinds of therapy. I do lots of different things. And if you go to both of our websites, you'll find this out. It will be on Dr. Red Says' Facebook page. I'm blanking out on Facebook today. But there are so many different therapies for different things that you can do. And I'm amazed at the sample you just gave us, because I never heard of that one. It's cool. It's groundbreaking. So if you can get that to us, we would love to have that. But definitely your Absolutely. Information is going to be on our page, and people can come and see what all you do. Now, in all this loving goodness here, do you happen to have a rant? Because we know that with anything, if you let it build up in your body, it's going to cause all kinds of trouble. So if you are angry, you're going to build up anger and negativity, and I know you hate negativity.
Absolutely. So this one may be old news, but I'm going to come back to it anyway, and that is that, as you know, in recent months, that there has been all this buzz about taking away funding from Planned Parenthood. And this really makes me upset, because Planned Parenthood, as you know, was Margaret Sanger's brainchild, and she was such an inspiration. She was out there in the trenches as a midwife and a nurse, and she saw how women were not getting proper care, and she wanted to correct that injustice. And also at the time, it was illegal to send any birth control information through the mail. And so she single-handedly said, no, this is not okay. So she got together with her friends and created what eventually became Planned Parenthood. And so Planned Parenthood is not just for abortions or birth control. It's for all sexual health. And given that there are so many people in this country who need access to proper medical care and that they don't have it, even though, you know, it's still illegal to not have medical insurance, you know, Planned Parenthood is a necessary thing. So people need it for general sexual health and general health and as well as birth control. You know, we have the highest rate of unplanned pregnancy in this country and the highest rate of teenage pregnancy in this country out of all the industrialized nations in the world.
I think that's
so Planned
part of
Parenthood,
the problem.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that's part of the problem is, one, we need Planned Parenthood to educate more and to provide birth control. But the other problem is, in faulty education, we have kids out there going, oh, what the heck, if I have one, I'll just have an abortion. That's the problem. Those of us who are pro-life would like the easy abortion part out of Planned Parenthood. The education, yes. Easy abortions, no. And that's where the hang-up is.
Yeah. Well, you know, certainly, what do they say, an ounce of cure is worth a pound of prevention.
Yeah.
So, yes, we need good sex ed in this country. Let's start there.
Seriously,
prevent people from having those unplanned pregnancies.
Yeah, and it's such a bitter debate. If we could separate those and let Planned Parenthood do their job to plan parenthood, that would be a wonderful thing.
It would be.
See, my mother's idea of planning that.
Go ahead.
My mother's idea of planning that was saying, sex is bad, you only do it to have the number of kids you want and to please your husband. Boom, that's it.
that's not very practical, is it?
Worked for me. I've been afraid of sex for 70 years.
Okay, it worked for you, but I don't think it works for a lot of people.
No, it's
considering
terrible.
That 40% of all pregnancies are unplanned, I don't think it's working for a lot of people.
No, it's terrible. I mean, misinformation is the worst hindrance to our lives. It's worse than bombs. It's worse than poison. Misinformation will get you killed faster than just about anything.
You can.
And that's sad. So when people come to you, besides having the problem fixed, you can educate them as to how to stay healthy and not fall into problems again.
Yes, absolutely. And that's my goal, is that I want to get people to be happy and healthy and I'm feeling that they enjoy their sexuality, that they enjoy what's going on in their lives. You know, because really, this might sound idealistic, but I feel that if people have happy, healthy sexuality and happy, healthy relationships, then that's going to make for happy, healthy families. And happy, healthy families make for happy, healthy communities, and that makes for a happy, healthy world.
Yeah, we need our family units back, and that's what I'm afraid of. All these hit-and-run people, they go off to make a baby, and then they leave, and the guy's gone. The woman is struggling with this child. Not a good thing. What happened to people respecting each other, loving each other? It's called making love, you know? If you want to have sex, then do it properly. You know, so that we don't have the social problems that we're in right now.
Yes.
The other question I gotta ask, because like I said, I'm old. How long can you keep having sex?
Oh, what a great question! Well, to be very blunt, until you die.
Oh. Wow.
Yes, and as I tell my students, you should be horny until you die, because it's actually a good sign of good health.
Oh, I gotta tell my husband that one. I think he's got his half. I'm just lacking right now. But that's fascinating.
You know, I will tell you, there was a study that came out recently that I loved the results. They interviewed people of all ages, all adults, and the people over 60, more than half of them said that their sex lives were just as good or better than when they were younger.
Well, you don't have to worry about pregnancy.
No, it's true. That makes a nice resolution to that complication.
That's interesting. Yeah, I don't know what keeps people together. I gather my 59-year marriage, whatever, 58-year marriage, it is such a novelty now. People don't know what keeps people together. But I would imagine that if you are happy at home, you don't have to go look elsewhere.
Well, it certainly helps. And like I said, one of the biggest things that you can do is to continue to do new and pleasurable activities together. Men prefer to do activities that are something to do, whereas women prefer to do activities that are something to talk about. So I encourage couples to go and do new activities that are fun, where you can talk, or you can talk about it afterwards. But just do new things. Continue to have adventures together, even if they're small.
I'm amazed because my husband, we got invited to this art gallery thing with the alumni of my university. And he said, I'm excited about that. And I said, you're kidding. Never occurred to me. He wants to go look at an art gallery. He's a guy. I think he's going to really enjoy that. We can hold hands, walk through the pictures.
Yes.
Wow.
I think that sounds wonderful. See, and it's new and it's novel and you can talk about it and enjoy the time.
Yeah, I'm just kind of flabbergasted. I didn't think he would do that.
Thanks for tuning in this week to Dr. Red Says. Please join Dr. Sarah Young, a.k.a. Dr. Red, again next Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time and 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. In the next week, laugh in the face of adversity and move forward.